Detective Eric Edson is with us here in studio from the Sheboygan Police Department. Always keeps us up to date on scams and fraud that's impacting our area. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kelly. I'm great. How are you?
Hanging in there. Doing okay.
Okay, good.
Where are we going to start this morning? I see you got quite a lengthy list of items you want to
Hopefully we'll squeeze this all in today. So upon reviewing the website, I think we've mentioned before, ic3.gov, that's where people can go and report different scams. I try to look at that before I come on with you and see what's been impacting our area. When I log in, I can see different complaints from Sheboygan County and the surrounding area. And the three that we're going to talk about this morning are ones that have been kind of prevalent in our general area and in Wisconsin lately. So I just wanted to make people aware of them. It's things that we've talked about before, same kind of general underlying concepts. It's just bringing some awareness to the variations of these scams. So the first one is student loan forgiveness. Most people know that, at least that have student loans, are in that part of their life, that payments have been paused on most student loans until the end of August. However, scammers are continuing to target people that might have student loans or be in that position to know someone with student loans, to try to take advantage of this confusion of, are the student loans going to be forgiven totally, or are they still payments paused, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what they'll do is, you might receive an email, text message, whatever it is, offering any number of services, either to consolidate your loans, lower your payments, improve your credit score. Actually, this company will make payments for you on your behalf, all kinds of different variations of that. So what people need to know is, all of those scams, the things they have in common is that they're going to ask you to pay an upfront fee for them to do that for you as a service to you.
Okay.
And almost always those things are scams. So what you need to do is, before you would agree to anything like that, is research the company, that the lender that's offering to do that for you. Google is a great resource. We'll talk about that later on too, where if you just go on Google and search that company's name or that lender's name and then the word complaints or scams, you'll probably find whether or not it's reputable or not. But the biggest thing is, never pay an upfront fee for anything like that. Never pay to get something ahead of time.
Sure.
Because a lot of times what they're going to do is ask you to pay in a way that you can't get your money back, whether it's a wire transfer, a prepaid card, something like that, and you're not going to get your money back if it's a scam. There's a lot of information out there about this, and I would direct people, if you are in that part of your life where you have student loans and you have questions about it, the Federal Trade Commission has a whole article on their website specifically dealing with student loans.
Okay.
And what's legitimate and not. That's at ftc.gov/student loans. And if you just go there, there's a lot more information there about that.
All right. Workers' comp.
Yeah, this is another Facebook scam. We've talked about before that you can't always trust that the friends that you have on Facebook are really those friends. People are very good at creating fake accounts, duplicating an account. If they do hack into your friend's profile, they can pretend to be them, send you messages as them. And so scammers are using that to send messages to people via Facebook, saying that, hey, I saw your name on a list that says that you're owed workers' comp. Workers' comp has been a big thing. You've had stories about all the number of fraud that's been taking place since COVID, of all these workers' comp requests and things like that. So what you'll do is, you'll get a message from this quote-unquote Facebook friend, and they'll say they saw your name, and they'll give you a number to call to talk to an agent. And you call the number because you think it's from a trusted friend, right? And the agent will tell you either, yes, you're owed money, or you have to pay a small fee, and then I can check to verify that you're owed for money. You see the theme here, right?
Uh-huh.
In the end, they're just going to ask you to pay a fee up front. Some of them will even give you your choice. So I've seen scams that they say, well, what do you want? You want $10,000 in workers' comp benefits? You want $20,000, $100,000? And every time that number goes up, the fee goes up in relation to it. And obviously, this is all just a scam. There's no workers' comp for you out there. There's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. All you're going to do is lose the money, fee that you pay them up front. So, again, never pay money to get money. That's always a red flag when they're asking you to pay money to get something that you're entitled to. And don't share your personal information with them. A lot of times they'll say, well, I need your social security number, your birthday, to verify that it's you that is entitled to these benefits. Obviously, that's something that you should not be just giving out until you verify who you're talking to. The only real legitimate place to go is to your local, either the state or the county workers' compensation organization that can verify whether or not you're owed that money. So,
and I think, you know, with people who suddenly get something like this and they see a, you know, this pot of gold in the way of money they didn't anticipate getting, it's easy to be talked into, I think, you know, giving up this information if they tell you they need it in order for you to get the money, you know.
Absolutely.
Kind of pressure them, as you've pointed out, happens many times.
Yep, that's the science behind that social engineering. It's, you know, human beings' nature to, when you're presented with this opportunity to have a windfall of cash or some other benefit, you're not always thinking clearly and you're willing to kind of believe that it's true and to give a little bit of, you know, if I have to pay $100 to get $10,000, that's a pretty good risk reward thing in my head.
Right.
But really the reward is never even there in the first place. It's just losing the $100. So,
which you'll never probably get back.
You won't. Yeah. I mean, it's that simple. You won't get it back.
All right, what else do we have, Eric?
The last one is employment recruiter. So this one isn't as prevalent, but you might get a message from someone saying that they're interested in hiring you. They saw your resume or they saw your profile on LinkedIn or something like that. They're going to usually ask you to communicate with them through one of the messaging apps. Telegram has been really popular lately. WhatsApp, there's any number of them that they can communicate with you.
Right.
They'll ask you a few fake interview questions, and then all of a sudden they'll say, okay, we want to hire you. They'll be very impressed with your resume and stuff and want to hire you. What they'll do is they'll send you an official-looking contract or forms, and really the purpose of that is just to get your personal information.
Right.
And then sometimes they may even say, we're going to set you up with a home office and send you a check to pay for a computer, office supplies, any number of things. And lo and behold, a couple of days later, a day later, they'll say, oh, we made a mistake. We overpaid you for what you were supposed to have. Send us back $500 or whatever the number is. This scam is very prevalent in all kinds of forms. That check was never good in the first place. It's a counterfeit check. It takes a couple days to go through the banking system, and by the time someone realizes that it's a fake check, you've already paid that person the money, and hopefully you have the balance of that money still in your account that you can just refund it. If you've spent that money, the bank's going to say you owe us that money. So if you get a check for $1,500 and you spend it all, and then that check ends up being counterfeit, more than likely your bank is going to hold you responsible for paying that $1,500 back. So never share your information with people again. Be wary of these overpayment schemes. Anytime someone offers to send you a check and then asks you to send part of that check back to them, almost always going to be a scam.
Yeah, big red flag. Big red flag there. And you got a few recommendations here, right, when using the online marketplaces?
Yeah, we've had a couple complaints locally about this as well, where people have purchased things through either Amazon or Walmart, thinking that they're buying directly from Amazon or Walmart. And it's important for people to know the difference. When you go on Amazon or Walmart's website, they have marketplaces, and not everything is sold or fulfilled by them. You need to drill down into the small print on the advertisement or the offering and see who is actually fulfilling your order. There's a lot of third-party sellers out there, most of which I would say are probably fairly reputable. However, there are some that are simply set up to be scams. Either the product is a counterfeit or is deficient in some way, or the product doesn't even exist. They just want to get your money. So be very wary of third-party sellers. Research the seller before you buy anything, and this is where Google comes in again. If you search that company name with the word complaints or scams after it, if it's one of those companies that does that kind of stuff, you'll find hundreds and hundreds of responses that people will be talking about that online. Also, don't trust the reviews. A lot of people think that, well, it's got a couple hundred reviews and they're all 5-star. It must be legitimate. It's estimated that 50 to 60% of the reviews on Amazon are fake.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't trust the reviews. It's almost that you can't trust anything anymore. We talk about caller ID and all, you can't. You have to do your due diligence.
Right.
So grandma's advice, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, right? So if you see a TV that normally retails for $1,000 and you can buy it on this website for $200, nobody is selling that product to lose money. So that's going to be a scam. And also, if you decide to buy through one of these third-party sellers, use a credit card. You have many more consumer protections with a credit card than you do with a debit card or a money transfer or a prepaid card, something like that. You'll likely be able to contest it if you have an issue with that item.
And you've told us many times about, you know, the scams that target the elderly. You actually have, like a training opportunity for people?
Yeah,
on
so
this?
What we're going to do is in conjunction with the DA's office, there's an assistant DA that I'm working with, and we're going to offer a 4-hour block of instruction from 8 a.m. to noon on Thursday, June 16th. It's going to be held at Lutheran High School in their auditorium. We're going to have more information on our website, and we'll try to publicize it in the community so people can sign up. It's going to be free of charge. We just ask that people try to register ahead of time so we know about how many people to expect. But it's for anyone who wants to learn more about financial or elder exploitation, whether it's financial fraud, whether it's physical abuse of the elderly. Typically, that demographic of people, the elderly, is one of the highest incidents of exploitation and victimization with these kinds of scams. So if you're in an occupation where you care for the elderly, if you're a financial person that offers advice to the elderly, if you are a caregiver, even if you're just a child, a son or daughter of someone who's elderly, a neighbor, whatever it is, it's open to everybody. It'll be really just addressing financial elder abuse is the primary thing. But we're going to be talking about understanding trauma in elderly people, how to identify trauma and identifying the abuse and exploitation that happens, because a lot of times with the elderly, it's a family member that's exploiting them. It's not typically with the elderly a stranger. It's normally someone, a family member or a trusted person, could be someone, a clergy member, a financial person, whoever it is, it's any number of people, but it's usually someone close to them. So identifying the red flags when they tell you things, or if money's disappearing, or if their behavior changes, hopefully it will be very informative to people. Again, it's free of charge. It's just in the morning from 8 to noon on the 16th. And we'll have more information this coming week on our website on how to register. And I'm sure in the next couple times I see you, we'll talk about it some more and just make people aware of it. So we hope that people, once we get the information out, are able to attend. And we think it's going to be very informative for people.
All right. It certainly sounds like it will be. Eric, thanks for coming in this morning. As usual, we appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right.